At this point, we'll move to the public hearing. And I would just like to say, we're going to, I believe City Manager Herbig, we're going to do the Zoom people in the queue first. And then I believe Mackenzie Barnhart, I believe, is creating a list outside of people to speak. So when we get to people here in the building, Mackenzie will go around and let you know that you're going to be speaking. I'm going to make a presumption that one person will come in and speak for 3 minutes, and then we'll exit somehow and we'll get the next people in as expeditiously as possible. But tonight, in my view, is a chance to hear from the public. And so I'm going to ask the council, of course, we're not supposed to talk, but I'm going to ask the council, remind you that during the public hearing, I expect no comments from the council or any talking. If any questions are directed to us from the public, for example, we are not going to answer them. It is to listen. And that's crystal clear, but I just wanted to make put a stamp on it. Everybody's going to get 3 minutes. And I have a timer, and I may know how to use it. So I guess we'll start with the first Zoom. And as people come in, whether you're in Zoom or in person, standard procedure is to give your name and the town or city that you live in. And then I'll start the clock, and you'll have 3 minutes of open time to talk to us. I've been mayor almost 2 years, and I have a gavel, and I've yet to use it. And I appreciate not using it tonight, either on the council or the public. And for me, this is all about fairness and listening. So being as sincere as possible, to ask everybody to do our best to realize we all live in this region or town, and we all care very much. So having said that, I'll turn it over to City Manager Herbig to coordinate the Zoom, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, just folks that are in the queue, you don't need to raise your hand. I've got you here in order. And so we'll bring everybody in that's in the queue. So the first is, I have someone calling in from 207-2. 218-1237 will allow you to talk.
Good evening, can you hear me? Thank you. The people on the Zoom, can you hear me?
Again, that's for 207-218-1237.
We'll move on.
Yeah. Next one. We have 207-323-3110.
Good evening. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good evening, this is Eric Sanders, and this is the public hearing. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. I'm going to ask you to start with your name and city that you live in, and then I've got a timer and I'll start it when you talk. Go ahead.
My name is Paul Bernacki, and I live in Belmont Corners, Maine. I've known Mr. Kelly and Mr. Hurley for, I don't know, something like between 30 and 40 years. And I think this dog and pony show is kind of funny because the legalese that Mr. Kelly has spouted at you, Mr. Hurley has very definitively shown that he doesn't understand a word of it. I'm not quite sure what advice of a lawyer is good for if members of the city council makes public statements that show that they don't really understand property law, or even their role as a public servant, which is to act upon in a lawful way for the good of the people. The substantive issues that are going on tonight that the city council is going to vote on are not things that should be rushed. It seems to be a clear public opinion that once again, for unknown reasons, the city council is rushing things. It's completely unclear to me who actually created the July 22nd deadline. And it's an absurd deadline because there is absolutely no way that in that 10 days or 12 days that the affected parties of this so-called offers, or shall we say threats, there's no way they could have ever gotten an appraisal to see whether the city's token $500 for their release of the residential use rights, or for that matter, the $35,000 or the $5,000 offered to the actual land holding and easement holding parties of the intertidal. So I'm just going to give a little advice to you all, which is that see you in court, baby. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bernanke. All right, I'm stopping the clock and we will move on to the next remote caller. It feels like a radio show, but it's not.
The next call we have is 781-717-7809.
Good evening, can you hear me? Good evening, can you hear me? All right, yes.
Next, we have Alan Cohen.
Good evening, Mr. Cohen.
Yes.
Yes, this is Eric Sanders. Yes, I can, sir. We're at the public hearing, and I've got a timer. I'm going to set it at 3 minutes. If you could, you've already stated your name, but if you could do that again in the town you live in, and then the floor is yours nonstop for 3 minutes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, I submitted a written comment earlier today. My name is Alan Cohen. I live in Winterport, and I just wanted to talk about the difficulty of changing minds when all the evidence and or all the information that we are surrounded in is information that comes from interested parties. So we are in a very stratified situation right now where some people nationally are watching Fox News, some are watching CNN, MSNBC. When the city council listens to Nordic Aqua Farms and it's an echo chamber of jobs, and the echo chamber increases with the governor's office and the DEP. And it seems to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Jobs, development is good, and we need the funds for the water system. But you have to look back in the history of the Belfast City Council when you decided not to let Walmart into the city because the negative economic impacts, and it's well documented in many books. Many economic professors have shown how Walmart coming in raises the number of people on SNAP, raises the people on Medicaid, people going to emergency rooms because they have no medical coverage. You made a great decision by not allowing Walmart in, but it seems that the promises of jobs are very vaporous with Nordic Aqua Farms. We don't know how many permanent jobs. And the industry, from an easy research, you can find the research shows that the industry is moving to more and more automation, computer controlled, laser guided cutting machinery. There may be a very few number of people at computer terminals with very sophisticated AI backgrounds that people from Belfast will not be filling those positions. And to me, moving here from Maryland and knowing the Belfast area for many years and moving here this winter, I realized that what is wonderful about this area is the quality of the water, the beauty of the harbor, the tourism qualities are the engine that's driving the economy. Look at your Belfast magazine put out by the Chamber of Commerce. It's all about those amenities. It's all about the parks. It's all about the water. It's all about the great stores and interesting artists and creative community. It seems that you're going to be killing the goose that laid the golden egg. There was something that I never saw, the chicken processing factory that was dominating the harbor. It seems that you want to go back to a dirty, polluting industry that's going to destroy the beauty and the reason that people come to Belfast. People come from all over the world here. And I just don't understand the vaporous tendency of these jobs and the rush to bring this industry in that's basically going to destroy the beauty that is Belfast. So I wish, I know it's difficult to go back on decisions, but it's very important to look at your decisions and see what's going to be destroyed. Well,
thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Next, we have Andrew Bessner.
Andrew, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's amazing. This is Eric Sanders. I'm going to, it's a public hearing. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, sir, if you could tell me full name and town that you reside in, and then I'll start the timer. Go right ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, I'm Andrew Plesner. I'm currently living in Standish, Maine, which is in southern Maine, but I'm from Belfast, Belfast, and I have some property right outside Belfast in Morrill, and I plan to be back in Belfast within the next few years. I just wanted to give my full support on this project in Belfast ever since hearing of it. I was really excited for the opportunities that it's going to give my hometown. I think it will give many jobs to a lot of local people, and those jobs will kind of branch out, give a lot of opportunities. I think all the research I've done, this is a very clean process. It's a proven process, and I expect it to do well, and I don't think it's going to cause any pollution or any issues for that matter. And I just want to give my full support on that. I'll keep it quick so other people can talk. Thank you
very much, sir. Thank you for participating. All right.
Bill Cressy.
All right. Bill Cressy, it's Eric Sanders. Can you hear me, sir? Bill Cressy, can you hear me?
I did not sign up to speak. Thank you, though.
Thank you. Next.
Bruce Weatherby.
All right. Bruce, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm a reporter. I didn't sign up to speak, but I was interested in listening to the testimony. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you. There may be some of those folks as we go scroll through the list. So,
Carrie Pierce.
Carrie, can you hear me? Looks like you may be on mute. Carrie, can you hear me? I cannot hear you. All right.
We have a CECMCK.
CCK?
CECMCK.
Good evening. Can you hear me? CEC, are you there? All right.
Dave Perkins.
Hello. This is David Perkins. I'm from Lincolnville, Maine. I also work with Upstream Watch and maybe in Grace. Just two points. The first, I just for the first time saw the order that Mr. Kelly prepared, and it talks about there being no fishing in the intertidal land that's being taken. There clearly is fishing there. We'd like the record to keep open so that we can demonstrate that Mr. Maybe has fished there over time. At the tidal trial, there was photographs from the Eckroats showing them fishing there. So there clearly is fishing there. And so I don't think the council can make a finding that there's no fishing. Also, Surveyor Donald Richards has reviewed the taking condemnation notice that has the survey that Mr. Kelly referenced, the Dorsky survey. And part of that land that's being taken is in the town of Northport. And I don't think Belfast has authority to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll move along.
This is just a reminder to folks in the queue that we're gonna call on everyone just to make sure we don't miss anyone. So you don't need to raise your hand. Thank you. Next one is Dave Smith.
All right. Dave, can you hear me? Dave Smith, good evening. Can you hear me? Last call for Dave Smith. All right, next.
Can you hear me?
Yes, is this Dave Smith?
I had to unmute myself there.
That's good, okay. Can you tell me full name, where you live, yes. And you have 3 minutes. Go right ahead.
Yes, my name is David Smith. I live in Belfast. I'm a retired school teacher here in the community and have lived here in Waldo County for, it's been 50 years now. And I have a very short statement about eminent domain. I'll read it. Eminent domain. Here in Belfast, we are deeply involved in the process of figuring out if the proposed salmon raising facility will become a reality. In my opinion, the city of Belfast is making a big mistake going down the road of eminent domain. The people of Belfast are not served by the city taking land. The situation is too complicated. This heavy-handed approach will only increase the level of conflict within our community. In order to serve the public interest, eminent domain is sometimes necessary, especially when public safety is an issue. Here, the city is erroneously attempting to move the Nordic Aqua Farm project forward by using eminent domain. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
Yep.
All right.
Dick Swain.
Good evening, Dick Swain. This is Eric Sanders. Can you hear me? You may be on mute. Dick Swain, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good.
Can you hear me? Great.
I can hear you just fine. And we got your full name. If you could tell me the town you reside in, you have 3 minutes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, I live in Belfast. I think it's a mistake to use the eminent domain for condemnation here, or whatever the correct legal term for this is. I think it's much better to let give the situation more time, just as the previous caller said. And I think overall, the project seems like a mistake, in the sense that the city of Belfast does not need the world's largest anything that's the first of its kind. The prudent course with all technology is to wait until you see whether it works. No one knows whether this works yet, and the company has yet to sell a fish using this project. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Jeffrey
Meadey. Right. Jeffrey, Eric Sanders, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can, Eric.
Good. Obviously, we've got your name and the town you live in and then you have 3 minutes, sir. Go right ahead.
Thank you. My name is Jeffrey Meadey, and I've lived in Belfast for 40 years. The land the city wants to take by eminent domain belongs to me and my wife, Judith Grace, until a judge says otherwise. We have 4 deeds, 3 surveys, and a quiet title action from 50 years ago to prove this. 2 years ago, we put the intertidal portion of our land into a conservation easement, the Harriet L. Hartley Conservation Area, to be used by the public in perpetuity. So eminent domain is not required for future public use. We even offered the city a permanent easement across our property so people can get to the Harriet Hartley Conservation Area. The city rejected our offer, and contrary to the Bangor Daily News, we did not ask for any remuneration, only that the city take care of the easement. The city council makes no attempt, however, to cover up their true intent to give an easement to Nordic Aqua Factory so they can lay their pipes in order to discharge their 7 million gallons of effluent daily. This, in effect, is using eminent domain to take land from a private landowner and give it to a private corporation, which is unconstitutional in Maine. It's also true that the extinguishing of the conservation area will have to be decided by a court of law. Our friends and neighbors on the Belfast Council are buying the city into a lawsuit, which we know Nordic will pay for, but money is not the only thing that is lost in a lawsuit. Nordic's primary strategy has been to run us out of money so they can do what they want. But I can tell you this strategy has failed and will continue to fail. Growing giant orange fish that only middle and upper income people can afford, increasing the carbon footprint of Belfast by 4 times, and polluting our fragile bay is not a sustainable activity. Using eminent domain in this case is, we believe, highly unethical as well as illegal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maybe. Thank you very much.
Elaine Gaylenberg.
All right. Good evening, Elaine. Can you hear me? Elaine Gaylenberg, are you there?
First woman to get the prize.
Yes, but I'm not going to, I don't have anything to say at this point in time. I'm sorry. I'm just listening in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you? I've got, I can hear you fine. Presume you can hear me. It doesn't matter. It's, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, full name and city that you reside in, and the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for allowing me to speak. My name is Jeff Flimlin, and I live in Perkins Road with my wife, Larissa. The Nordic facility will literally be out my back door. I've worked for over 40 years in fisheries and aquaculture, mostly with Rutgers University Cooperative Extension. I was also the president of the U.S. Aquaculture Society and sat on the board of the World Aquaculture Society, so I know a little bit about aquaculture. I believe we all want to protect the future of Belfast Bay and Penobscot Bay. We share a deep respect for our natural resources and want to conserve and protect these local waters and have a goal of environmental stewardship and ethical management of our resources. I spent much of my time working with local, state, and federal agencies looking at aquaculture prospective businesses. We as citizens have given them, the agencies, the charge of protecting the environment in which we live. For the good of the public and the earth, they have created regulations which make sure that prospective aquaculturists do things the right way. And so, when an entity desires to create an aquaculture farm, they're required to meet standards set by the state, which often mirrors federal regulations to which they're also subject. And if or when they do meet those standards, they get a permit to proceed. Let me make one thing very clear. State and federal environmental regulatory agencies don't like risk. In fact, they want to assume zero risk for the environment and themselves. That's because they don't like lawsuits. So when a company like Nordic gets all the required permits, it provides a great assurance to the public that their operation will conserve and protect the waters. Nordic has their permits. Nordic has purchased and given land to the city to use in a way that will benefit all the citizens in one way or another. And with the permits in hand, we can be sure that the operation will not harm the place where we live. So essentially, it satisfies what I started out saying about our local environment. We must realize there is a major difference between preservation and conservation of natural resources. And I think both the city of Belfast and Nordic Aqua Farms realize that also. Although there are those who espouse conservation, what they really want is preservation. Conservation is the wise use of our natural resources, and preservation means saving only as is with no change,
regardless
of how benign the environmental impact may be. And so with permits granted and lands in the hand of the city, I would support whatever process the city decides to do to enable Nordic to access the bay for the water they require and then discharge incredibly well-filtered effluent, which will meet all those standards that I will suggest are quite conservative. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. 2 minutes, 59 seconds, 0.56. All right. Keeping myself honest. Next.
Glenn Montgomery.
Glenn Montgomery, okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, go right ahead. Make sure you, besides name, the town you reside in, go.
Okay, Glenn Montgomery, Belfast. I'm gonna speak quickly so I can get this all in. I am pretty neutral on the subject of the Nordic Aqua Farms proposal. I don't like the idea of living creatures spending a portion of their lives swimming nose to tail in an unnatural environment. I'm also concerned about the considerable freshwater usage in these uncertain days of climate change. I felt the city went a little too fast in its negotiations with Nordic before the general public was informed. Also, if I were an abutter or nearby landowner, I'd be very upset about the rules of the game that had been changed when zoning was altered to allow the project. On the other hand, I am aware of the many, many needed infrastructure improvements that could be made with the tax money and other financial benefits that Nordic would bring. Also, from most news sources, it seems that Nordic plans to reduce its carbon footprint as much as possible. So while I am ambivalent about the Nordic proposal, I am not ambivalent about the intentions and motives of the mayor and the city council. I have appeared before this and previous councils many times on various topics. I watch almost every single council meeting, and I've talked to many of you, and I know most of you outside the confines of council chambers. Even though I don't agree with you on every single topic, I have absolutely no doubt that in your support of Nordic, you feel like you are doing what's best for Belfast and its residents. Not for a second do I think any of you have any hidden motive or agenda. To the contrary, I have a feeling many of you have been exposed to unwarranted personal attacks and have suffered financially due to your Nordic advocacy. While I honor the right of any Belfast citizen to strenuously voice their opposition to your stance on Nordic, I think it is totally out of bounds for you to be called names and to have your motives questioned. I trust all of you, and I appreciate your willingness to serve on the city council in these tense and troubled times. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn, very much.
Greg Wood.
Greg, it's Eric Sanders. Can you hear me? Greg Wood, are you there? Greg? Okay.
Hugh Townsend?
Hugh, can you hear me? Hugh Townsend, are you there? Hugh. No, Hugh.
Jackie Lee.
Jackie, can you hear me? Jackie Lee, are you there?
James.
James, can you hear me? Hello, James. All right.
Gina Hepper.
Gina. Gina, can you hear me?
Janet
Herbiner, can you hear me? Hello. And by the way, we'll not be taking any breaks, council, so if you need to go to the bathroom or get water or anything, or the public, we'll just continue.
Jane Early.
Jane, can you hear me? No?
Jeffrey Bast.
Jeffrey Bast, can you hear me? Jeffrey, are you there?
I am here. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you quite clearly. Can you give your full name and town? And then the floor is yours, uninterrupted for 3 minutes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. I wasn't planning to speak, but I'm pleased to take the opportunity. I'm a resident. I have a property in Northport in Bayside.
And your full name, sir?
Jeffrey Bast.
Thank you.
My father-in-law is a native Mainer and has grew up in Bangor, and my family owns at least 5 properties in Bayside. We spend every summer there. We live on the Penobscot and in the Penobscot Bay, and we treasure that body of water. We swim in it regularly. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I did a 3.5-mile swim from Bayside to Belfast in that water. And my father-in-law not fondly, but specifically remembers the chicken processing plant and the effect that it, the adverse effect that it had on those, on that body of water, and the many people, the many residents who rely upon that body of water for not just their environment, but their jobs, lobsters, fishing, just the pure enjoyment. It is the heart and soul of Belfast and Mid-Coast Maine. And so any jeopardization of that body of water is certainly not the, worth the risk. And while we understand that Nordic intends to cleanse 99% of those chemicals from the water, that 1%, 1% of 7.7 million gallons per day is a massive quantity of nutrients that could will harm this water. There's and only 87% of the nitrogen is filtered out, leaving tons of harmful chemicals that will kill that environment. We that's part of what we love about Maine. That is what we love about Maine, is that bay and the town of Belfast. And while we certainly appreciate the need for jobs, economic stimulation of the city, we haven't heard any long-term commitments to funding jobs, keeping the environment clean. And the deal I heard, it was a little difficult to hear, so I'm not sure I heard everything, but the agreement to purchase 100 million gallons is for 6 years. Well, what happens after 6 years when they're already there? Are they going to continue to buy the water that they've committed to buy? And so this project seems short-sighted, and the harms would be irreversible. This is not something that we'll be able to undo. Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, we won't be able to put it back in. So we ask that you pause this process and allow for a more thoughtful, the judicial process that's been underway. And I support with the comments of the property owner, who Mr. Maybe before. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jim and Patty.
Jim and Patty.
I didn't know I was going to be talking. I would have.
No.
Jim and Patty, can you hear me? Jim and Patty. No.
Jim Merkel.
Jim Merkel, can you hear me?
She was just here in that building.
It's not on the Zoom, so
it could be a story.
Yeah. No.
Karen Esty.
Karen Esty, okay. Karen, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening. We've got your name, Karen Esty. If you could do the city you live in 3 minutes of time is yours, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. My name is Karen Emery Esty. I'm a fifth generation Mainer. And like many Mainers, we had to move away to get good paying jobs. And we've been back here approximately about 20 years. I just want to thank the council for their due diligence. I believe that their characters in this matter are impeccable, and I am disheartened by the personal attacks by many of my friends towards the council members, because they're good people, and I just believe they're misinformed. I fully support the project. I believe it's been well-researched, and it will benefit Belfast and the surrounding towns, as well as food shortages are forecasted in the future because of global warming. And as a person who eats a cup of salmon once or twice every week because of its health benefits, I fully support the project. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Catherine Chagas.
Catherine Chagas, can you hear me? Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am. I wasn't planning to speak, but since you called my name, I will. I'd like to ask the council to seriously consider dropping the
idea. Catherine, can I get your town that you live in, too? Thank you.
I live in Belfast.
Thank you.
I think that using eminent domain in this case is a big mistake. And I also wonder if the council has really done research about large corporations who come into small towns with a lot of promises of jobs and great development and end up leaving the town holding the bag. There's Vero Blue in Iowa. I'm not super knowledgeable about all of these things like some people are, but I was very aware of that, a small town in Iowa where I used to live. And they came in, lots of promises, big jobs, and they left huge debts that the town was polluted and a mess. I still have yet to hear, with the talk of jobs, what jobs, what exact? It seems that automation is the way that these companies are going. It also seems that there are, if you look at the news, of giant fish dies, both with the new companies in America, land-based, and in Norway. This is an incredibly risky business. And it seems to me that the council has the best interests of the city at heart, but that you've, in my opinion, going down this road is a big mistake for the town. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Kathy Hayes.
Kathy, are you there? Kathy Hayes. Kathy Hayes, up there.
In Norway, this is an incredibly risky business.
Somebody, can you hear me?
Has the best interest of the city at heart, but that you've really not made, in my opinion, going down this road is a big mistake for the town. Thank you.
That's a repeater here. Yeah. Yes, the stream, streaming. So.
Thank
Kathy,
you very much. I would like to say I'm
Kathy,
in.
Kathy, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can, Kathy. Can you turn off your radio or computer so that there's no echo? And if you could get the town you live in as well, and you have 3 minutes, go ahead, ma'am.
I will simply say this is Kathy Hayes from Belmont, Maine. I am 100% in favor. I'm passing the phone to someone else who's in the room with me.
Good evening. My name is Diane Braybrook, and I live in Belfast. I want to thank you, our elected city council, for always listening and responding to citizens' remarks and questions with civility. I want to thank you for keeping the larger picture in your vision of what is best for Belfast in the near and the far future. I want to thank you for the untold days, weeks, months, and years working through all the challenges that have been thrown out at you in order to represent the wants of the majority of Belfast citizens that elected you. It is the nature of people to make a lot of noise when they disagree with something. It is also the nature of people to stay largely silent when they are in agreement with something or simply ambivalent. Being noisy does not equal being right, nor does it mean you are speaking for all of the people. Here are some quotes from the often silent majority of Belfast citizens upon hearing that Nordic Aquafarms is now fully permitted to begin construction. First quote, lots of hard work and perseverance has resulted in a win, not only for Nordic, but for the people of Belfast and beyond. Well done. Congratulations, Nordic. The ripples that you started in Belfast and in Maine will spread far and wide. Congratulations and thank you, Nordic, for not giving up on Belfast. Thanks for your patience. So glad the project is going forward. Looking forward to welcoming our new neighbors. Congratulations, I am so pleased. Thank you for your persistence. Thank you for your commitment. I am sure the work ethic of Maine tradesmen and future Nordic employees will serve you well. wishing you the very best of success. I believe Nordic will be a huge asset to not only Belfast, but the entire region. Welcome. Congratulations and thank you for your commitment to sustainable food produced in our community. The people trying to stop you are the same people holding Belfast back from growing. Good job not giving up and winning. Can't wait to see what you guys do for the community. So that's just a sampling of the huge support you have for seeing this process through to the end. Thank you again to all of our city councilors for making the hard decisions that will pave the way toward being the best that Belfast can be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lily Peel.
Lily Peel, yeah.
Muted.
Lily,
can you hear me? Nicely done.
There's a party somewhere. Lily?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm opposed. Definitely opposed. I'm concerned about water use.
Can I get what city you live in, please? Thank you.
You're so welcome. I live right in Belfast, and I'm opposed to the fish farm. I think I don't understand eminent domain. I don't understand the technical legal aspects of it. I know vaguely what it is, but it seems heavy-handed. I'm concerned about the water use. I'm definitely concerned about the effluent. I've worked for a closed system aquaculture fish farm in Florida. I know how often mistakes are made, and it can be scary and get out of control in a moment. And I mean, understand there's a need for money. I think there are other ways of finding that money, of making that money for our city. Just respectfully opposed. I'm sorry. That's it. I wasn't planning on speaking. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope we continue to thrive.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ma'am.
Mark Solowasser.
And you.
Mark Solowasser. Mark, can you hear me? Mark Solowasser, are you there?
Mary, no? Mary Nevin.
Mary, can you hear me? Mary Nevin, are you there? No?
Mandy Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Mandy, can you hear me? Mandy Thomas, it's Eric. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I wasn't planning on speaking, Eric. I'm sorry. I was just joining.
Well, that's okay. Thank you.
Is there a better way to do that?
You got me, but it's okay. We'll, if you're not going to speak, we'll move on and you can
Thank
watch
you.
This way. You're welcome.
Michael Crowley.
Michael? Michael Crowley, are you there? Can you hear me, sir? Michael Crowley. Michael, can you hear me? No?
Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald, are you there? Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Eric? I had not intended to speak. I'm just watching.
Thank you.
I think this might be a good time to remind people that if you are just viewing the meeting, you can do that by streaming it at cityofbelfast.org on the homepage. You can go to watch the meeting, or you can watch it on Bell TV or on Radio WBFY. If you're in the queue, I'm going to call on you just because we don't want to risk missing anyone that wants to speak. Have MTS.
MTS, are you there?
MTS does not have the correct version of Zoom to participate.
Okay.
NA.
NA, are you there? Hello, NA, can you hear me?
Patrick Hurley.
Patrick Hurley, can you hear me? Patrick, are you there? It's Eric Sanders. Can you hear me?
Ron Huber.
Ron, it's Eric Sanders. I can hear you perfectly clear. If you could tell me, I got your full name, but can I get the city you reside in? And you have 3 minutes uninterrupted. Go right ahead, sir. Thank you, sir.
Scott T.
Scott T. Mm-hmm. Scott, can you hear me? Scott, good evening. Can you hear me?
Seth Thayer.
Hi, can you hear me?
Seth, I can hear you. It's Eric. Full name, city, and you've got 3 uninterrupted minutes. Go right ahead.
Sure. Seth Thayer, I live in Northport, and I also own property in Belfast. And I'm in full support of Nordic Aqua Farms and their proposal to build a fish farm in Belfast. As a Belfast business person, I've really admired what the council has done over the last couple of years to really balance out the way that Belfast runs with different sorts of jobs and a diverse economy. I really support you guys and what you're doing. And I know that you're not rushing into this and that you've taken the last 3.5 years really to really carefully look at this project. And I fully support everything that's going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Seth. All right.
Stanley,
can you hear me? Stanley, it's Eric Sanders. Can you hear me?
No. Steve Byers.
Steve.
Yes.
Full name and city, and I'll give you, it's Eric Sanders. I'll give you 3 uninterrupted minutes, sir. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Steve Byers, town of Waldo. My property runs down to the Westcott Stream, which connects to the Belfast Bay. And my kids swim in the City Park Bay a whole bunch each summer. So I'm a millennial. I was in a different generation than all of you, but I just want to speak from my perspective as a millennial, not for all millennials, but from my perspective, millennials are interested in a win and help win development style. What does this mean? It means take care of number one. So for the city of Belfast, your focus is number one as you're looking at yourselves and the projects that you're working on. Can help others win. And if they can't help others win, then their ability to win themselves may not be of value. In the case of Nordic, you know the issues. This meeting is about eminent domain. It's not about whether or not the project is a good idea or not. It's a meeting about, is eminent domain good for us? So you know that you know the issues with eminent domain. You know it's an old tactic used by the powerful to cheat the system when the system doesn't work in their favor. What you lose in this system hack is confidence in city governance, confidence in creative problem solving, and confidence in our leaders playing by the rules upheld by the justice system. As a millennial, I urge you to listen to the part of you that takes issue with a system hack approach of eminent domain. And instead, update your operating systems of environmental, social, and governance tenants to not only serve the rights of the people here in Belfast, but also the rights of the underground water, the rights of the Penobscot Bay, and the rights of the future generations to adjust an equitable system of governance that will be a win and help win for humans, water, and our food systems. If the Penobscot Bay were a member of this council, she would vote against this project. If the Belfast Water Aquifer were a member of this council, he would vote against this project because he would be sucked dry. If the lobster in the bay were a voting member of the council, they would vote against this project. I'm grateful for the part of you questioning the legacy of harm this eminent domain decision will cause. And I am grateful for the part of you having the courage to reconsider a better win and help win opportunity for Belfast. Now's not the time to use eminent domain and rush the court systems. Please honor the fact that we do have those systems protecting us, and please do not compromise the integrity of those systems. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Aaron, just a question in terms of, we've started the public hearing about 7:30, I'm gonna say, so we're about a little short of 50 minutes in. How many more are in the queue that you can register? And if it's significant, would it, council be of mind to switch over to the, okay, so there we go. Great minds think alike. Do we know how, we're gonna move the people in here who have been patiently waiting.
I actually only have three more in the Zoom queue.
There you go. We'll do three more folks and then we're going in-house. Good time, thank you.
Steve.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
It's Suzanne Stone.
Suzanne?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's Eric Sanders. Can you give your town of residence and then you'll have 3 minutes uninterrupted. Go right ahead. Thank you.
Yes, I'm Suzanne Stone. I live in Belfast. I am born and raised in Maine. I come from immigrant families that came here in the 17 and 1800s from Europe. And I am very opposed to this eminent domain proposal that's being put forth by the mayor and the city council. I do find it aligns with the unconstitutional with the Maine constitution, for we would not be taking this, this would not be desired to be taken if Nordic Aqua Farms did not want to put their effluent pipes through this land. So for me, very logically and rationally, this seems to be taken for a for-profit business, which is unconstitutional. I also find the word condemnation to be quite apt here. I feel like I resonate a lot with Steve Beyer speaking to the water having a voice, the land having a voice. I find that to be rational thought. And I feel like we are condemning this bay. We are condemning 40 acres of forest that would, according to Professor Timothy Fahey, Professor of Ecology at the Department of Natural Resources at Cornell University, 40 acres of forest would sequester 1,200,000 pounds of carbon dioxide per year. And with climate change, we are really needing all of our forest. And I am a preservationist as well as a conservationist. I think the rationality the attorney William Kelly. Thank you. I was speaking about the poet for a minute. William Kelly was speaking to the rationality of this project, and I find this project to be quite irrational. I don't find it rational to be dumping 7 million gallons of effluent into the bay. Part of the effluent, we don't even know what is going to be in there. We still don't know what Nordic Aqua Farms is going to feed these fish. This is going to, I'm quite surely, be warmer than the waters of the bay. So we're warming even the Gulf of Maine that is already warming faster than any part of the ocean on the earth.
15 seconds.
Okay, so I definitely think we need to step back, and taking this by force is not the right way and unconstitutional. Thank you so much for this time.
Thank you, Ms. Stone.
Wendy.
Wendy, can you hear me? Wendy? No?
Zafra Whitcomb.
Zafra?
Hi, Eric, can you hear me?
Yes, I can quite clearly. Full name, city, and 3 minutes. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi, okay, my name is Zafra Whitcomb. I'm a resident of Belfast, a longtime resident of Waldo County, a longtime enjoyer of the waters of Penobscot Bay. And I wanna say, you know, I'm no fan of eminent domain. In fact, my home in Brooklyn was torn down in order to create a large commercial project for the Brooklyn Nets Stadium. And I fought for many years against that. So when I heard about this, I had an initial strongly negative response to it. And I'm still on the fence about whether I think this is the proper process for the city to go through. But I do wanna say in the 3.5 years that this has been discussed, I've been very disappointed in many of my neighbors that I've known for years and years and years, who I believe are extremely well intentioned, but in many ways, misguided. There have been a lot of references to chicken processing. I think there's no way we can put that, I'll call it a paper chicken instead of a paper tiger. But the paper chicken is out there, and it's complete nonsense in reference to the type of treated water discharge that will be coming out of this facility. And I think it's important to look at the global carbon footprint as opposed to just our local environmental impacts. And I feel like this process, this facility, is certainly an opportunity to reduce the environmental impact internationally of other types of aquaculture. I feel like that is a net positive. And I'm extremely disappointed in the way that the city council and any of the supporters, or even people who are on the fence but want to see it play out, have been abused and vilified by the opponents of the project. I mean, I've seen and heard from just about every city council member personal stories of terrible abuse from opponents of the project. And it's just, it really disheartens me, especially since so many of the people involved in the opposition are people that I've known for many, many years and are close to me and close to my family. And that's extremely painful. Not that they individually have made those attacks, but it is part of the group, and they have to own that. They have to own the misinformation that's being put out there. I myself tried to participate in some online forums and conversations, and I was kicked out for asking some simple questions. So it's clear to me that many of the people in this group are not interested in actually having an informed discussion, but only participating in their own echo chamber, and that's really too bad. So in the end, I want to say that I'm not necessarily opposed to this method. I'm not fond of it, but exactly. I feel like this has gone on way, way too long, and the city has put in all due diligence necessary. So please, I trust you to make the right decision for the city of Belfast. Thank you.
Thank you, Zephra. All right. One more, Aaron. We have one more in the queue, and then I have a list of people that has been provided to me that have signed up to speak that are in the building, and I'll call you in one at a time. So we have one more Zoom.
Zara Wallace.
Zara? Zara, can you hear me?
Yes, I wasn't expecting to speak, so.
Oh, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And that concludes the Zoom portion.
Yes, I was gonna say, we had, I think we had 68 people that were in the queue. We tried to get in touch with everyone just to make sure that everyone had the ability to speak if they would like. If someone was in the queue and did not get selected or could not make connection, if you could just raise your hand in here and we can get back to you after in-person testimony.
Okay, so I'm going to go in-person testimony now in the building, and since the podium up here, it'll be the same rules, three minutes, and if you could give your full name and the city that you're from, then we'll listen for 3 minutes. And the first person, and some of these names may be mispronounced because they may be misspelled because people are trying to get signed up, but Janie Phillips is number one. Janie?
Who's next? So just give my hands up.
Okay, on deck would be Amy Grant and then Mike Samway. So Janie, good evening.
Good evening. My name is Janie Phillips, and I'm the Vice President of the Friends of Harriet Elkhart Conservation Area. The mission of our organization is the protection, preservation, and restoration of the Friends of Harriet Elkhart Conservation Area. We opposed the Nordic Aqua Farms plan for an industrial-scale fish factory because of the negative environmental impact it would have on the conservation area and on Penobscot Bay and its entire watershed. The rightful owners of the disputed intertidal zone at the mouth of the Little River are Jeffrey Mabee and Judith Grace, who have placed the property into a conservation easement held by Friends of Harriet Bartlett. Deeds and surveys going back for generations provide evidence of their ownership. Despite this evidence, Jeffrey, Judith, and the Friends have been forced to defend this property in a lengthy and costly legal battle. We finally got our day in court. A trial was conducted in Waldo County Superior Court at the end of June. Days later, before Justice Murray had rendered a decision, we learned that Nordic Aqua Farms and the city of Belfast had gone behind the backs of the citizens and the judge and hatched a plan to take the disputed property by eminent domain. Not only are these actions alarming and their lack of transparency, they are in violation of the U.S. and Maine constitutions as well, and Maine statutory laws limiting the use of eminent domain over land used for fishing. In our state, a city can't take someone's private property and give it to a private for-profit business entity for commercial or industrial development. The city is trying to get around the Constitution and the law by claiming that they need this property to establish a park, which would give the public access to the intertidal zone. Of course, anyone can see through this thinly veiled scheme. The council is trying to take the land so they can give Nordic Aqua Farms what it wants, a way to get their wastewater pipes out into the bay. Further, the intertidal land you are trying to take is protected by a conservation easement, and the city has no legal ability to amend or terminate that easement and the protections in it by use of eminent domain.
30 seconds.
That conservation easement can only be amended or terminated by court order. Your lawyer was just told this by the Attorney General's office. In fact, there is already public access to the property through the Friends of Harriet Elkhart Conservation Area. Friends offered to let the city take over the easement access area that now exists, but that offer was not accepted by the council because it doesn't include an easement for Nordic pipes.
Your 3 minutes are up, ma'am.
This is not about public benefit. This is about the city siding with an industry that will contribute to the warming of our waters, pollute our bay, and create a huge carbon footprint. The Friends of Harriet Bartlett strongly oppose the city's use of eminent domain, and we denounce the duplicitous behavior of our city officials, who
Ma'am, your time is up. I'm asking.
No pipeline park. Thank you.
Yep. I've got Amy Grant next. And Amy, although I know you could do your city that you live in as well.
Yes, I'm Amy Grant. I am a resident of Belfast. And I want to say before I begin to speak that for the record, I have a series of photographs. This is Janet Eckroat's family fishing on the flats. These are a series of photos of the Navy family fishing with nets and poles on the flats. So please make sure that this is part of the record. Having recently acquired the Eckroat property between Route 1 and the bay, which did not include the shore or beach, Councilman Hurley and Harkness claimed they wanted it for the public to have access to the shoreline. However, the shore in question is already available through a conservation easement that allows public access for any environmentally sound purpose. The holders of the easement are willing to make public access permanent, effectively it already is, without further expense to the city. They have also offered to sell the city a separate access and some parking. So the city's proposed use of eminent domain for public access is a mere pretext for an illegal seizing of private property for private gain, in this case, Nordic's. Taking people's property away from them for the benefit of other private properties is illegal. It violates the United States Constitution. It violates the Constitution of the state of Maine. It violates Maine Statute 1 MRS 816. The Maine Supreme Court made it clear long ago in 1872 that, quote, as between individuals, no necessity, however great, no exigency, however imminent, no improvement, however valuable, no refusal, however unneighborly, no obstinacy, however unreasonable, no offers of compensation, however extravagant, can compel or require any man to part with an inch of his property. Bangor Piscataquis Railroad Company versus Macomb, 16 Maine 290. In the leading case of Kelo v. New London, 545 U.S. 478, the United States Supreme Court was clear that taking a private property, quote, for the purpose of conferring a private benefit on a particular party is unconstitutional. A public entity may not, quote, take private property under the mere pretext of a public purpose, unquote,
30 seconds.
When its actual purpose is to bestow a private benefit. Nordic and their handful of supporters love to call those who oppose their scheme NIMBYs. NIMBY is also an acronym for next it might be you. The next time the city council wants to raise money, whose property will they take and sell? If it is okay for the city to take private property to pay for the negligence of the water district, why wouldn't the city pay for other deficits or negligence by seizing other private property? Because paying the city's debt is an exigency.
Time is up. Thank you. I have, looks like Mike Samway, then Kim Tucker, and then Debbie Smith. So Mike? And if we could just make sure there's room enough for everybody to come in and out, I would appreciate it. Sir, if you give your full name and the city you reside in, I'll give you 3 uninterrupted minutes. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Council members. The
I'll wait for the timer.
I had this a minute ago, but
take your time.
How can I not have it at my moment?
We can also move you to the next person and have you come back if you...
I have. Okay, my name is Mike Samway, and I currently live in Miami, Florida. I was born in Bangor, and my family started running cottages in Bayside in the early 1940s. and we eventually purchased the cottage there in Bayside. And many members of my immediate family owned cottages there. I vividly remember seeing the chicken guts blowing past the swimming dock several times a week when I was growing up. And I do recognize that one of the earlier speakers said that a paper tiger, paper chicken, but it really did happen. It's my understanding that Maine's climate action plan states that Maine cannot reach its carbon reduction goals with business as usual. Nautic Aquafarms is a business as usual factory farm. Here are a few examples of all that will require. The dumping of 7.7 million gallons of nitrogen-rich effluent that will also contain unknown quantities of chemicals and drugs, including antibiotics, pesticides, and cleaning agents, as well as pathogens that will pass through the filtration system every day into the Penobscot Bay, where children swim, lobstermen fish, and the endangered Atlantic salmon and sharp-nosed sturgeon struggle to survive. The liquidation of a maturing carbon-sequestering forest and wildlife habitat of special significance, carbon-storing soils and wetlands of special significance, streams and drainages, and critical shoreland wetlands. A massive infrastructure with a huge carbon footprint. It'll equal the size of Gillette Stadium, Fenway Park. 8 diesel generators, each with a 67-foot smokestack, a cement plant, alterations to Route 1 and at least 5 years of construction, and unknown amounts of noise and odor.
30 seconds, sir.
1,250 gallons of fresh water a minute. The use of so much electricity that the existing grid cannot sustain the demand, which equals that of Belfast, Northport, Lincolnville, Camden, Northport, and Rockland combined. Nautic has not shown that they have the financial capacity to build and maintain a $500 million project.
Time is up, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I have Kim Tucker, then Debbie Smith, then Christopher Grossman. Roman. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Kim Tucker. I'm the attorney for the Friends of Perrydale Hartley.
And what town and city do you reside?
I live in Lincolnville.
Thank you.
I represent Jeffrey and Jeffrey Mitty and Judith Grace as well. We are not here to debate whether Nordic Aquafarms is a good idea or a bad idea. The issue before you here tonight is whether you may constitutionally and lawfully take my client's property. And the answer to that question is definitely no. First, I'm going to give you something that I haven't heard a lot of here tonight until some of the speakers spoke, and that's the law. Article 1, Section 21 of the Constitution of Maine provides that private property shall not be taken for public uses without just compensation, nor unless the public exigencies require. This constitutional guarantee surrounding the acknowledged right of ownership of private property necessarily implies, from its mere declaration, that private property cannot be taken through governmental action for private use, with or without compensation, except by the owner's consent. That's what the law court has interpreted Article 1, Section 21 to mean. In this case, there is no dispute, because the city wrote a contract that says it, that the reason this property is being taken by eminent domain, no less, is because the city wants to have Nordic be able to put its pipes out into the water, and yet they do not own that land and never have. Nordic has known since April 2nd, 2018, when their surveyor told them that the Eckroats do not own that land. and cannot give them an easement for it, and never did. Their easement stops at the high water mark. My clients own that land, and we are in court to have that resolved again by quiet title, because my client's title was quieted in 1970 by the Superior Court in Lawler County. But we're going to do it again. And we have had a trial. So when Mr. Kelly says that we have to do this to clear the title, no, you don't, because the title will be cleared based on the trial we just had. And while we were in the middle of that trial on day two, Janet Eckhart's over here signing deeds to the city. Doesn't tell the court, doesn't tell the parties, gets up on the stand under oath and talks about how she owns this property the very next day. Before this trial even had the post-trial briefs filed, Nora had conveyed away all of its interests, whether it's by the mysterious easement that never existed, or the release deeds from the people who are not heirs of Harry L. Hartley. It's Harriet's sister Genevieve's husband by his first wife's great-grandchildren. And if you tell me that's an heir of Harry L. Hartley, it's a pig.
20 seconds.
Bottom line here, the Fourth Amendment that you signed says everything we have to know. And if this council moves forward in taking my client's property tonight, before the sun sets tomorrow, you will be a defendant in a lawsuit over the constitutionality of your actions and the legality of it.
Thank you. I've got Debbie Smith. If you could give the city that you live in as well, Debbie.
Yes. Might be heard.
I can hear you quite clearly. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Debbie Smith. I live in Belfast. I am appalled at the council's proposal to take by eminent domain intertidal flats from Nordic Aquathon's Heights, property that likely will shortly be ruled by means of the Superior Court to belong to Jeffrey Mady and Julia Lewis. If the council were confident that the property in question had belonged to the Eckroats, and that the court would rule in favor of Eckroats Nordic City of Belfast, you wouldn't bother to take this action. In fact, you wouldn't bother to take this action unless Nordic wanted to run their pipes through there. That you are resorting to this shows your lack of confidence that the property ever belonged to the Eckroats. And there is very real, legitimate question that the Eckroats own these title flats. Three surveyors with such ownership have determined that the property is owned by the Maydys, and one of them has changed his determination. At best, the ownership status was inconclusive and unclear. That information that was unclear and likely was owned by the Maydys, likely is owned by the Maydys, was known to Nordic when it started this project. And yet, without ever proving it held legal right title and interest, Nordic was allowed to press on. Every department, bureau, and organization bowed to them, granting permits without procedural order. All this effort was based on, at best, undetermined ownership. Were the court determination imminent? You hedge your bets with a crafty, eminent domain claim, adding a gratuitous donation to the park to the city of Belfast, along with supporting water district improvements to justify this claim for the public good, an attempt to avoid laws barring use of eminent domain for private purposes or profit, which it is in fact. The very act of this condemnation, and especially the timing, makes clear the council is doing this solely to facilitate the Nordic project, which was founded on an accurate and unsteady ground all along. It's sickening, it's appalling, and it's duplicitous. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I've got Christopher Groden up next, then I have Deborah Capwell, and then Jane Giles. And I'm having a couple of requests that people that are listening in are hearing noise from the background. I don't hear much noise where I sit, but if everybody outside, it could be the echo from the TV or something, if everybody could just be conscious of listening to people and allowing them time to speak. Chris, city and town, or city, and then I'll start when you start.
My name is Christopher Grogan, and I live in Belfast. I'm here to talk to the fish. There have been numerous issues that opponents of this project have expressed as reason for their opposition, and I agree with many of them. However, there is another perspective that has not been touched upon, which I feel needs to be addressed. Mankind has a long history of, quote, taming wild animals to raise for food, and has thereafter developed a pseudoscience of animal husbandry. Now, having overfished the wild species in the oceans in pursuit of wealth, some humans now seek to improve on nature by forcing other species who have survived millions of years of evolution as wild and free creatures, and who also traveled the wide seas, to be enslaved in a man-made concrete merry-go-round, fed a man-made diet that is totally unlike their wild one. To me, this is quite simply cruel. For some decades in the 20th century, Belfast was known as the broiler capital of America. The Waldo County area still is dotted with large buildings that housed in conditions that most people today would acknowledge as cruel, untold numbers of chickens being bred for slaughter. It seems to me as though Belfast is going backwards, based on the enticement of mega tax revenues that have enthralled our elected officials to such an extent that they are willing to use any means necessary to avoid admitting that they have bought into what is not just a bad idea, but a cruel one as well. It's a tangled web we weave.
Thank you, Chris. I've got Deborah Capwell up next, and then I have James Giles, then Jim Merkel. Deborah, if you could say what town you live in.
Deborah Capwell, and I live in Belfast.
Thank you.
All right, so how can we lower taxes, update the water system, and still honor and protect the Little River, the mature forest, and the many creatures and small businesses that depend on a healthy bay? Do we really have to sacrifice the trees and habitat around the Little River? Are we forced to ignore the needs of lobsters and other sea flora and fauna in a bay that is already warming at an alarming rate? Do we have to decide in favor of smokestacks, trucks, the impossibility of meeting climate commitments, and the many other, quote, unintended consequences? Are we that desperate? Are we that devoid of imagination? We've been over this terrain before. What is new is the announcement of the intent to take property needed for Nordic's affluent pipe by eminent domain. Wait a minute. What about the pending court case? What about the legally binding conservation easements on this property? And who will pay for the proposed park's upkeep? Belfast's taxpayers, right? Especially in light of the recent frightening report by the IPCC, are you really willing to go to these lengths to enable a new concentrated agricultural feeding operation? Do you really believe that this is in local citizens' best interests? On a different but related note, are you familiar with the phrase, a mess of pottage? Wikipedia reminds us that a mess of pottage is something immediately attractive, but of little value taken foolishly and carelessly in exchange for something more distant and perhaps less tangible, but immensely more valuable. The phrase alludes to Esau's sale of his birthright for a meal, a mess of lentil stew, pottage, in Genesis 25, 29 through 34, and connotes short-sightedness and misplaced priorities. Let's not sell our birthright for a mess of pottage, as Esau did. There's still time to rethink, and I most sincerely hope that you do so. If Nordic could provide a proposal with zero effluent and minimal carbon impact, then eminent domain would be unnecessary. And then maybe we could all have a new conversation about taxes, water infrastructure, as well as about respecting, nurturing, and protecting small local businesses and the healthy environment on which they depend. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I have up next will be Jane Giles, then Jim Merkel, then Calden Cutting. So, Jane, if you could, your name and city that you reside in, 3 minutes uninterrupted. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Jane Giles. I'm a native of Belfast, and I am a 25-year resident of Tosher Street. I'm here tonight to read a letter from the residents of Tosher Street, four of which are here with me and have waited patiently for me to read this. As residents of the Tosher Street neighborhood in Ward 1, we are writing in opposition to the proposed eminent domain taking of the intertidal property reference. We are not writing either in support or against the proposed Nordic Aqua Farm project. Rather, this is to express our opposition to the eminent domain taking and the proposed property use. On July 14th, we each received a Federal Express package from the city's attorney that included a $500 check from the city to purchase our interest in the residential purposes of the intertidal property. An appraisal was enclosed, stating that our interest had no value, but the city's offer was to resolve any title claims. 8 days was given for the response, not enough time to contact attorneys. We each declined the offer. Attorney Kelly further explained that the Ecroke property owned by Nordic was being sold to the city for nominal value. Future use of the property by the city was described in his letter, as this purchase will significantly expand public access and public uses related to access and use of the shorefront, intertidal area, and Penobscot Bay in general. This acquisition of the upland and intertidal zone will significantly enhance the public purposes and uses, and there was further description. We were quite surprised to receive this, and we were further surprised to learn through local media sources that the city plans to turn the former Ecroke residential property adjacent to our homes into a public park. Understandably, these sudden actions by the city created some anxiety and concern on our part. There's four key points I want to point out that's really a concern to the Tosher Street residents. Eminent domain is rarely used in Maine, and when it's done, it's generally used for a wide public benefit, such as roads and bridges, not to benefit a private company. The city's new park announcement was made without prior communication to local property owners. Thus, it eliminated our opportunity to have any public discussion of the input to you on the impact to our neighborhood. Establishing a park runs contrary to the city's appraisal, which we received with a letter, which states that the highest and best use of the upland Ecroke property is for residential development, not for a park. The city's offer to pay us $500 for property appraised with no value and the unreasonably rushed move to take the intertidal property raises questions for us as to what the true value of the property may be.
30 seconds.
This does not have to be an adversarial proceeding, but the city's failure to consult with abutters such as us is giving us no choice. Because of these actions and the manner in which the city is approaching them, we are concerned as to how you feel about the future of our homes, our security, and our surroundings. As a result, we request that the eminent proceedings be stopped, and we encourage the city to find a better solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Giles. I've got Jim Merkel up in the call, and then after that I have Francis Pan.
It's okay, Eric. Walden wants to speak first.
That's fine. Walden, you go first, and full name and city, and I'll give you 3 minutes, sir. I promise I won't sing to you, too.
My name is Walden. I'm from Belfast, and I'm here now. And basically, you're saying that you want to steal the land and to tell the public that you're taking the land to build a park when you're actually giving it to Nordic Aqua Farms to put their effluent pipes through. What kind of person wants to hang out in a park full of fish with water? And yes, Nordic Aqua Farms, I know that you quote unquote filter all the fish species out of the water in the effluent, but not the dissolved nitrogen can't be filtered out, and that's gonna, if that goes into the water, that's going to cause a huge algae bloom, and we're in your park. Last time I checked, so what is the point of, Boring aquifers and anyway would be really bad for the environment, so.
Thank you. Jim, full name and city, and then I'll give you 3 uninterrupted minutes as well, sir.
Yeah, Jim Merkel of Belfast, and council members, Mayor Sanders, and Jim from Belfast. And tonight I'm speaking on behalf of the Sierra Club legislative team and over 20,000 members and supporters in Maine. We work diligently to amplify the power of our 3.8 million members nationwide as we move to explore, enjoy, and protect the planet. Sierra Club is asking the council to oppose the action to condemn real property interests for the sole benefit of Nordic aquifers. There is no way to construe this condemnation as public benefit, as the public already has access to this area. Further, it is the intention of Harry Hartley that this land not be used for industrial purposes. Instead of public benefit, the proposed Nordic Aquafarm facility in Belfast would have considerable and irreparable environmental impact. The liquidation of 17 wetlands and forests covering 14 football fields would permanently extinguish carbon sequestration while releasing the stored carbon above and below ground. 7.7 million gallons of wastewater plume will add 11 times more nitrogen to the sensitive bay than the Belfast City Sewer, and the bay already has closures for excessive for red tide. Biosecurity risks are documented in scientific papers where wildfish are at risk, including endangered Atlantic salmon. These studies have been submitted to you in advance of this meeting, but to summarize the risks, 800,000 fish died at a Florida RAS facility just this year in April, and in July, 360,000 fish died at a RAS facility in Denmark. These are the facilities built just ahead of Nordic, the two. Massive die-offs. So the back to Belfast, the 2 megawatt diesel generators would be permitted to burn 900,000 gallons of diesel annually, run regularly to shave peak costs. The 28 megawatt power corridor costing ratepayers $63 million would negate much of the hope for tax relief. Nordic Aquafarm's proposal falls short of meeting Sierra Club's national policy, which is aquaculture systems should include components that recycle waste internal to the system. Multitropic aquaculture systems that integrate fish and plant systems to process waste, optimize the use of resources should be encouraged. That's a national policy. Nordic alone represents 4.6 to 6.4% of Maine's entire 2030 greenhouse gas targets. I did the numbers along with George Aguiar for this. This facility make meeting the 2 greenhouse gas commitments this council has already signed on to impossible. It would be equivalent of 5 to 7 times the current carbon footprint of Belfast.
30 seconds.
These impacts are not public benefit. I do thank you for your time and service, and I know that it is a tough but important job, and I deeply respect your commitment. I'm happy to provide you with more information if it would be helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. All right, I've got Francis Pan, then Christopher Hayek, then Jim Campbell up. So, Francis, if you could give your full name and city that you live in.
Okay. My name is Francis Pan, and I live in Belfast.
You have
happily live in Belfast.
3 minutes is yours, ma'am.
Okay. And I would just like to say I fully believe that the council believes it is acting in the best interests of Belfast. I don't doubt that. But at the same time, I believe that this action you are taking is very, very wrong. And not just illegal, but also unethical. And that is the action for eminent domain. And I know you are arguing, the argument has been made that Nordic brings benefits to Belfast, benefits that might have to do with reducing the tax burden or helping develop a water supply and make repairs to the water supply. But I think what we are giving up far outweighs the possible benefits, starting with the destruction of acres of woodland, all the soil under it. And those two things are carbon sinks and also water filtration and water storage systems. And so the water that is there is going to change when these things are removed. And what do we get in exchange for that? But huge concrete tanks, cement tanks. Cement or concrete is one of the most carbon releasing materials around, and the pavement under it, none of which is good for the water. And I could go on, but that is not why we're here. I am arguing against the taking of Jeffrey Mady's and Judith Grace's land and the Friends of Harriet Hartley's easement by eminent domain to give to Nordic Aqua Farms the right to put their pipes through. That is taking private property to give benefit to another private entity. Nordic is not organized for public benefit. It's organized to bring profit to its investors.
20 seconds.
And thank you. So and the public already has access to that title land. And so I think it's a very wrong thing to do. It's illegal and unethical. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have Christopher Hike, then Jim Campbell, then Deborah Falls.
Christopher Hike, Belfast. First, I'd like to say that I think it speaks volumes that this council has refused to let the Climate Committee review this entire project. It should be the first thing they're reviewing. They shouldn't be forbidden from studying it carefully and giving us their opinions before you do anything. Second, I was in the court the second day of the trial. I watched Lawyer Perkins and Kim Tucker and the team representing Upstream Watch and Patty Hartman Conservancy eviscerate the surveyor that was hired by Nordic Aqua Farm and eviscerate their legal presentation. But Marianne Ness wasn't particularly perturbed by this destruction because Marianne Ness knew that she had a trick up her sleeve. And it's this Tammany Hall backroom scam that is basically being presented to the population of Belfast as a fait accompli. It is not. We will be taking you to court, and that is where it should be decided. Marianne has clearly disrespected the court. She has wasted Judge Murray's time. She has not kept him apprised of the people who actually have title right and interest. And as has already been said, Mrs. Eckert was speaking even as she was signing the deed over. Thank you for your consideration, but I'm afraid that with the forbidding of the Climate Committee from being able to speak their mind, you pretty much have made your position clear from the beginning. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Next I have Jim Campbell, then Deborah Falls. And then I have Jonathan Fulton. Jim, good evening. City you reside in as well, sir.
Jim Campbell, I reside in Belfast. whatever one's position on the Nordic proposal, whether it's for or against, the issue before us tonight, as someone said earlier, is whether it's a wise decision to use eminent domain to take over the land that is currently allegedly owned by Jeffrey Mady and Judith Grace. I would like to encourage the council to think of three things before you decide to vote. The first is the question of public use. And as you well know, under the Fifth Amendment and under Maine law, taking government body taking land for public use from a private citizen is very, very circumscribed.
The question here is, what's going to be different afterwards? Think about a judge looking at this. Right now, that land is open to public use. After eminent domain, if it's exercised, the land is going to be open to public use. The only difference is there's going to be pipes underneath it. Think about how a judge might look at that. One of the major cases, which I suppose your legal counsel has pointed out to you, is Kelo versus the City of New London from 2005. And that was a 5-4 court decision. All four, quote unquote, liberal justices were for the taking of land. All four, quote unquote, conservative justices were against the taking of land. The deciding vote was Anthony Kennedy. He did not agree with the majority opinion. He wrote his own opinion, which I'll get to in a moment. But I think one of the important things is to think about what happened after that decision. So, what happened after that decision was that in process, apparently, there was no actual proof that the developer had the financial wherewithal to do this project. And as a matter of fact, the city moved a great number of people, in this case it was housing, flattened the buildings on that land, and that land sat as a blank lot for 15 years. Why? Because the developer, it turned out, really didn't have the wherewithal. Despite having a lot of great plans and a lot of great testimony and a lot of great experts,
30 seconds.
What they didn't have was a lot of great money. So, the Wall Street Journal said that it cost the city $78 million in legal fees and in construction costs. Justice Kennedy, as I said, wrote the deciding decision. It was, he wrote a concurring decision in which he listed a number of criteria that he thinks future courts should use in deciding whether there was, quote, impermissible favoritism by a government body. I would encourage everyone in this room and who is listening to look at that opinion, because I think we will all probably hear more about it again.
Time is up.
As you recently, is that?
That's your time is up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I've got Deborah Falls, then Jonathan Fulford, then the final two would be Rachel Herbener and Doug Miska. So,
Deborah Falls is what we're
doing. Okay, so that would lead me to Jonathan Fulford. Good evening. If you could give your full name and city that you reside in, 3 minutes uninterrupted time.
Jonathan Fulford, I live in Belfast. And I think a lot of things have already been said that I don't need to repeat. I would like to say that the lack of review of the environmental impact of climate change of this project, when I looked into this more fully, made me go from being undecided to being very opposed to this project. As this is not what's being decided now, the use of eminent domain in order to make this go forward, I feel was a great mistake for the city of Belfast and will not, I think, likely succeed and be detrimental to our reputation. Say today.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you.
Now I have Rachel Herbener. Evening. Good evening. If you could give your full name and city, I'll give you 3 minutes. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. Rachel Herbener, Belfast, Maine. And first of all, I would say that I think the technology needs to be worked on. I was actually in the Zoom queue. I was never called on. Luckily, I live 10 minutes away, so I drove here. Okay, so I have long opposed Nordic aquafarms for the many thoroughly researched reasons others have stated. I think people have really done some very thorough research. And I don't think opponents and supporters will ever agree on most of these points. So let's look at a point I think we all agree on. Climate change is real, and our top priority as humans must be to slow CO2 emissions. A few days ago, the IFCC reported that humans are unequivocally to blame and global warming is dangerously close to spiraling out of control. Rapid action to cut greenhouse gas emissions could limit some impacts that others are locked in. So there may be questions about the quantity of CO2 that Nordic will add here in Belfast, but there is absolutely no doubt that it will increase our carbon footprint. I emailed Nordic on March 16, 2021, and asked, how much will Nordic increase Belfast's CO2? Nordic answered, I have the email, and I quote, "We do not know Belfast's CO2 levels. Either way, CO2 climate impacts is not a local consideration. In the climate equation, we reduce CO2 over 50% compared to most salmon in stores today. CO2 reversal is a good story for Belfast." I was stunned by their arrogance. CO2 is a local issue and a global issue. Here in Maine, Governor Janet Mills and many municipalities, including Belfast, have set CO2 targets to lower emissions. Nordic gladly sweeps that aside and praises us for helping them reduce CO2 globally. Where does the 50% come in? That's the CO2 generated by flying the salmon to the U.S. instead of producing it here. It's already a race against time for us to lower existing CO2 levels. Nordic expects us to add to our carbon footprint so their investors can make money. Belfast be damned. Are you really going to fall for this pathetic ploy? It's best not to view most issues as black and white, but we have run out of nuance for climate change.
30 seconds.
We have to cut down immediately. Perhaps 3 years ago, the city council didn't realize the ramifications of climate change and Nordic's impact. I ask in view of the latest analysis who joined with the international community that is desperately trying to save our planet. Eating salmon is not essential for life. Lowering CO2 is.
Thank you. All right, it looks like the final person signed up is Doug Miska. Good evening, sir. Full name and city that you reside in, and you'll have 3 uninterrupted minutes.
Douglas Miska. I am a homeowner in Bayside, and I also have been recruited to be on the board of the Harry Carter. So, first of all, thank you all, and thank you for the honor of being the last one to speak. I'm shocked. I just want everyone to take a breath. That's all. Take a deep breath and just listen to the information that is being given up and back. And whether we believe this is right or wrong, we all know in our hearts that eminent domain is not the way to go. So I myself am in the real estate business with a very large company. I just finished an eminent domain suit in South Carolina. So it's not anything that anybody wants to go through. I don't think it's necessary. I think the court is ready to make decisions. And I think in the best interest of everybody, we listen to what the court is going to say. So I just, you know, remember that when I first met Eric Hahn, I asked him, I said, what guarantees can you give us for protection? Because now I'm a homeowner and I'm right on the Penobscot Bay there on Shore Road. I said, what can you give us? I said, can you put a bond up? Do you have any insurance? And his answer to me was, quote unquote, that's a trick question. I will not answer that. Later in the conversation, one of his workers came to talk about the construction, which he mentioned that he was going to have a bond up because the lender would never allow the work to be done without some type of bonding. So I would hope that the city will look at some of these other issues that would protect our environment protect our homes, protect us, and do the right thing by voting down this eminent domain right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Let me set my clock here. So that concludes the Zoom public hearing and the in-house public hearing. I would like to also add that the city received 79 emails. They were received at the public at cityofbelfast.org prior to noon today, and they were distributed to the council this afternoon. So at this moment, with no one else speaking, I call the public hearing closed. We will now, nope, no breaks. We will now move to deliberations and possible action to approve an issue of condemnation order of real property interests, waive second reading requirement, and pay damages pursuant to 30-A MRS 3101 and 23 MRS 3021. That's it. At this point, I'll look for a motion, second, and then discussion and possible deliberations. Anybody like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion.
Yeah.
I hereby move that the Belfast City Council now resolves, orders, and appropriates the adoption of the condemnation order, that the sums appropriated be paid according to the condemnation order to those property owners from whom real property interests are hereby condemned, that the City Council waive second reading of the appropriation as authorized by Article 2, Section 11D of the Belfast City Charter, and that the City take the necessary steps described in 23 MRS 3023 and 3024 to complete the taking by eminent domain process.
Yes, sir. Is there a second? Mike, a second? So a motion made and second, and I'll open it up for discussion at this point from any member of the council. Neil?
Thank you, Mayor. I thank everybody who came to speak tonight and who got a hold of us through email.